Srila Bhakti Rakhak Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai, yeah. Bhagavan Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai, yeah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Jai Sabharikar Sri Sri Guru Gauranga Gandharva Govinda Sundar Jiu Ki Jai, Sri Giriraj Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Rupanuga Guru Varga Ki Jai, Namacharja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Shyamakunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Navadip Dham Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Ki Jai, Sri Gupta Govardhan Ki Jai, Ganga Devi Jamuna Devi Bhakti Devi Tulsi Devi Ki Jai, Om Vishnupad Vishvavaranya Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai, Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat Acharya Vrinda Ki Jai, Jai Srila Bhakti Vimala Avadhut Maharaj Ki Jai, Jai Sri Bhakti Lalita Devi Ki Jai, Seva Vrinda Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai, Nithai Go Premanande. When Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj conceived the logo of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, he included there a substantial visual representation of what he'd heard expressed by Srila Guru Maharaj invoked particularly at the time of separation, of the departure of the Vaishnava, separation from Sri Guru. And there, and Srila Guru Maharaj had consoled the disciples of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada with this when they, under Prabhupada's order, went to take advice from him after Prabhupada's passing. And although they had many questions to ask, it's revealing that Srila Guru Maharaj began with this. And he said, it's been described that the Sishya, the disciple, is like a lotus, and the Guru is like the water in which the lotus is situated. Then Krishna is compared to the sun. So when the Sisha lotus is safely sheltered, Ashraya Vigraha, within the safe waters of Sri Guru, then the intense Krishna sun, that sunlight emanating from Krishna nourishes the lotus. It thrives. Same, but remove the water from the lotus and the lotus is burned by the same, by that sun. Right? So, the disappearance of Sri Guru, like that, suddenly the lotus, we should note, There are many words that indicate lotus, many names. One of them is Ambuja, which means, Ambu means water, and Ja means birth, born from. Sometimes it's Pankaja, from the mud, but here, Ambuja, who's born from the water, right? Gets its life from the water, right? Without which, what life is there? So, when the passing, the disappearance of Sri Guru, the Sishya, disciple, lotus, is left in a not only a precarious situation, but a life-threatening situation. It cannot survive without the water. It will not thrive without being safely situated in those waters. So, such a horrific, horrible thing to conceive, but then why is it also memorialized and commemoration, a sort of celebration? It's very hard to conceive this without factoring in separation and union and separation. So we could say the departure of Sri Guru, then it suddenly the disciple Sishya Lotus finds himself in a situation of dying of thirst. There's an increased thirst at that. The intensity of thirst is increased at that time. So in one sense, even more so than when in the presence, they're now of like a life-threatening necessity to have that connection, to have that association. So Srila Guru Maharaj, as an overview, he concludes, he's saying that in Krishna consciousness, separation is the most spacious thing. Right? It's even more broad and encompassing than union. And I've likened this to, in photography, what is known as infinite depth of field, whereas the opposite means when you're focused on one, and this is very popular now, the bokeh, depending on how you pronounce it. There's a subject that is the exclusive focus, and everything else is blurred. But some say, well, the blur has its own beauty. That's another thing. Could be taken up at another time. But there's the subject is so exclusive in focus as to everything else is blurred. So from one point of view, we can think, well, isn't that the way it should be? This exclusive focus to the elimination of all other things, or they become blurred in comparison, they're not worthy of that sort of attention. But infinite depth of field means that everything becomes an intense focus, infinitely, right? So in separation, then there's a broadening of the focus. Right? It's no less precise, but more encompassing, which means through remembrance, then everything, it's possible that everything can become a source of remembrance, right? And not forgetfulness. or in Guru Maharaj saying, that in forgetfulness, we can have this most intense remembrance. And by that he means in the absence of. So as the saying goes, absence makes the heart grow fonder. So rather than some kind of blurred, non-specific, abstract remembrance, it can bring about intensity and precision, more precise remembrance. How? By remembering the instructions of Sri Guru, the pastimes of Sri Guru. It is an absolute necessity for us to live in the relativity of Sri Guru, right? The Ashraya Vigraha, to be safely sheltered in those waters. So it's a necessity that will cause this sort of remembrance. So when one of the devotees at the meeting mentioned this expression to Srila Guru Maharaj, union and separation, Srila Guru Maharaj said he was very happy to see that, to hear that. Because that is one of his themes, union and separation. It's the most peculiar thing. Right? And it is the hallmark of the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just as Srila Gurudev condensed it into one succinct expression to understand Sri Chaitanya Dev, he said, what is Mahaprabhu's tasting matter? We always hear, he's tasting, being inundated in waves of ecstasy, but what is that? Saying, what is his tasting matter? And we find the focal point is separation. And this, again, is peculiar because we would think no one other than Mahaprabhu, perhaps, who would invite this? No one would invite this, right? Because of some theoretical understanding of its superiority and its ability to yield a superior kind of substance. But Krishna, who is his default position is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Personality of Godhead, Akhila Rasamrita Murti, Rasaraj Krishna, Adi Purusha, Govinda, Rasika Shekhar. He knows to the nth degree the joys of union. But in observing the Srimati Radharani and her qualities, it has awakened within him the curiosity to experience her position. Aparam kashyapi pranayi janamindasya kutuki. And what is the zenith point, particular point he wants to experience is separation. And union and separation. Union and separation. That separation can bring about, can bring heightened intensity in feelings of love, affection, longing, thirst, hunger. Again, as Srila Guru Maharaj said, without hunger, eating is not so much appreciated. There's the common thing, hunger is the best spice. So when there is intense hunger, then every morsel is relished. It's why Vishwanath explains why Krishna would seemingly behave cruelly by making himself absent from the Braja Gopis. Because that absence will amplify, increase the intensity of the feelings they have to be connected with Krishna for union, so that when union is at last achieved, it's on an inconceivably intense level of feeling and expression and loving exchange. So sometimes Srila Guru Maharaj used the expression, by affection's force, by the force of affection, in remembrance of the lotus feet of Sri Guru, by the force of affection, longing, hankering, thirst, will bring us in connection with his holy lotus feet. And through service, serving and separation. How did the Braja Gopis go on for 100 years in the absence of Krishna? Did Vrindavan shut down? Have a sign outside the village closed? Somehow they trudged on during this time. And how did they assuage the anguish that each was feeling in their hearts? By talking about Krishna. Remember when he did this, when he did that, the sweet sound of his flute, the sweet sound of his voice, talking about his pastime. And then in that they're feeling like, is Krishna not here? They're feeling the intense presence of Krishna by singing songs about him, glorifying him, remembering his pastimes. Right? So often Srila Govinda Maharaj, when someone would call him and he'd pick up the phone and he'd say, oh, I am so happy to hear the sweet sound of your voice. But actually, there was no sweeter sound than his voice, right? Which was very mysterious, because it could go from very deep baritone range of male to very high feminine range in one sentence. Sometimes I would be shocked. Like, did I just hear what I heard in your voice? Male, female, sweet, you know, what's going on here? Sometimes he seemed to be choking on some nectarine substance, trying to get the words out of his mouth. And he is known for his overwhelming sweetness. That he lavished upon anyone who had the good fortune to come in connection with him. But I can conceive of nothing sweeter in my remembrance of his divine grace's pastimes than his interactions with Srila Guru Maharaj, where technically speaking, Guru Maharaj is the guru and Gurudev is the disciple. But, and you can see, it's actually within a photograph that was turned into a picture, because one of his abilities, titles as Jyotirbhushan, doesn't mean he's an astrologer. An astrologer is nothing. Means he has the ability to interpret these things. Anyone can do the math. You can buy an app, right? But to interpret that, that's another thing. Right? So sometimes, and reading palms, you think palmistry, what is that? For the self-deceived. But for those who know how to actually interpret, that's another thing. So you can see this one picture. Guru Maharaj is like a child. Govinda Maharaj is the father. And Guru Maharaj is like holding his palm out, and Gurudev is reading his palm and telling him all the wonderful, auspicious things that are there. And Guru Maharaj is looking up like with childlike naivete. And Gurudev telling all the wonderful things that he can behold, viewing the planets in his palm. And the affection of Srila Guru Maharaj for Srila Govinda Maharaj was so extreme that sometimes even his godbrothers would shrug their shoulders and sit there and say, he's so attached to that boy, Govinda, that whom Guru Maharaj described once as a brisky boy. I had to look up the word to make sure, but it means like full of life, energy, readiness to serve, to do things. And Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj, was also so charmed by Srila Govinda Maharaj and so happy to see him become the servitor of Srila Guru Maharaj, because everyone thought, the general take was that Srila Sridhar Maharaj is the most amongst the disciples of Srila Saraswati Thakur. Srila Sridhar Maharaj is undoubtedly the most qualified amongst us. That was just the consensus view, and rightfully so. But they thought, but he's a recluse, meaning he likes to live in seclusion. He's not assertive. Saraswati Thakur's an ease lover. His natural inclination, by his own admission, was nirjan bhajan. He's qualified to do that. But as Gurudev said, Guru Maharaj's opinion is, even if you're qualified to do it, you shouldn't do it, to not mislead others. Even if you're qualified, don't do it. What to speak of all the unqualified? Then you can understand the people doing it are unqualified, canceled. But Guru Maharaj, who's qualified to do that, he knows, and that's his personal tendency, said, but I know my Guru Maharaj does not approve. That's a big thing to remember. What our Guru Maharaj does not approve, what is not approved by Sri Guru, then we eliminate that from our repertoire. So Guru Maharaj said, I know Saraswati Thakur, this is not what he wants from us. I do not recognize the chanting a lack of Krishna Nam in the jungle of Baliyati as Krishnanu Shilana, as an example. So Guru Maharaj, this is his personal, he acknowledges that he has a personal tendency and preference, and also acknowledges that his Guru Maharaj would not approve of that. So then what do? Guru Maharaj said, I chose the middle path, that I'll make a mat, but all my energy won't be spent in trying to accumulate men, money, buildings, property, etc. And he would underscore that with Nadanam, Najanam, Nasundarim, Kavitamba, the Shikshastakam of Mahaprabhu, to show this line of thinking. Saying, but I'll establish a place, modest mat, and do my preaching from there. My internal culture, but also my outreach. And we know when Guru Maharaj, on the Rath Yatra day of 1942, after being there for a year in Navadvip, you can say that's the birth of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, the birthday of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. And he's got the hut, puts up the big bamboo pole with the flag announcing his intention, Sri Chaitanya Saraswata Matabara Udgita Kirtir Jayasrim Bibrat Sambhati Ganga Tata Nikata Navadvipa Koladri Raje Yatra Sri Gaura Saraswata Nirata Gaura Kata Granati Nityam Rupa Nuga Sri Kritimati Guru Gauranga Radha Jitasa. Encapsulating the conceptual architecture of the mat in this sloka, he expresses his intentions primarily to broadcast loudly, profoundly, widely the glories of Srimati Radharani as proclaimed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It will be established on the banks of the Ganga and Kolardanga, Koladeep, and in the Rupanuga line, Gauragata Grananti, its primary purpose. Sing the glories of Gauranga, which means Radharani's conquering devotion over Krishna. Sri Rupanuga and the Rupanuga line, Kritimati, Guru, Gauranga, Radha, Jitasha, with this aspiration when they serve Radhika Madhavasam, service aspiration, Radha Dasyam. And where did this come from? Vilasatu Riddhi Nityam Bhakti Siddhanta Vani. The Vani of Srila Saraswati Thakur playing upon his heart. So this is his offering to his Gurudev. But others said, as if Srila Sridhar Maharaj is experiencing some sort of delusion. He's in a hut on the bank of the Ganga with a tall bamboo pole and a flag, and this grandiose proclamation and the sloka of how this Chaitanya Sarasvat Mat will expand gloriously all over the world. He's in a hut with a bamboo pole and a flag. And like that, for some time, that they're thinking, the God brothers who know Guru Maharaj's qualification, he needs some help, some assistance, a servitor, super servitor. And then came His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. And they saw in him, in some sense you can say before Guru Maharaj, Babaji Maharaj, they told him like, this is the one. He's the one you should invest all your, all the wealth you extracted from Srila Saraswati Thakur, and all the wealth you possess by your own internal culture, here's the fit recipient for all of that. And here's the person who can realize what was expressed in that pranam mantram, can bring it to, fructify, fruition, realize that. And so Srila Prabhupada Swami Raj was particularly pleased and thought, now he's got the person. And like Bhaktivinoda Thakur brought down this wealth, he needed Saraswati Thakur to distribute that. In a similar way, Srila Guru Maharaj's inconceivable wealth, but how will it become known? How will it be distributed? That then came His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj. And his life's mission, his raison d'etre, was to serve the holy lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj and distribute the wealth of Srila Guru Maharaj all over the world. When I once asked, I was formulating a question. I already knew what the answer would be to ask Srila Guru Maharaj, but I had to go on the record that at least I asked. Although I knew the answer would be to decline, still I wanted to see how he would respond, because I thought, I'll never forgive myself if I don't at least ask. So I asked Srila Guru Maharaj about him coming to America, to the Western world, if we could arrange that and we would take him on like a tour of the world, but particularly, America. Thinking of as a good starting point. And Guru Maharaj, he said that was not possible for him at this time, and his, considering his age, his health, etc. But he did acknowledge that, said, I wanted to extract the maximum from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and I did. And he said, and now, surprisingly, it's coming out in my final days. Right? So I thought, if you can go like one time, even Srila Jayapataka Maharaj, having heard one explanation Guru Maharaj had given on a particular verse, said, the whole world needs to hear this. That feeling came to his heart, like, we got to take you around the world so that people can hear these things. So he got it. Anyway, so when I asked that and Guru Maharaj declined, he said, but, and this was the hopeful part, he said, I will see all of this through the eyes of Govinda Maharaj. Govinda Maharaj, he will go all over the world, and through his eyes I will see. So, as Guru Maharaj pointed out, that Srila Saraswati Thakur, he had planned to spend the next 10 years of his life preaching in the Western world. He left at the age of 63. But he said, but Swami Maharaj gave him those 10 years. Similarly, Srila Govinda Maharaj, he took Guru Maharaj's message, the save of Sri Chaitanya Saraswat, he expanded it all over the world. And how many world tours? 20 something? 22? 26? Huh? 27? 6. All right, 26. Think about that. 26 times. And always, as a humble servitor, the Sevayat Acharya, and if you prompt him to the reason behind all of this, it is to expand the glories of Srila Guru Maharaj and Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. He's not eager to increase the number of people serving him, but the number of servitors for Sri Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, which means Guru Maharaj. It's not a building. Right. The Chaitanya Saraswat Mat is what was conceived in the heart of Srila Guru Maharaj. That is what it is. It's not a building or a group of buildings or some property on a deed located in a particular section of Navadvip. Right. It's what was conceived in the heart of Srila Guru Maharaj. In service to that and promoting that conception around the world. And so, that's an overview. And I like to give Lalita, Bhakti Lalita Devi Dasi, the opportunity to say something as the, I believe, the senior most disciple of Srila Govinda Maharaj here, and personal secretary to His Divine Grace, and witness to His astonishing and sometimes amusing, past astonishingly amusing, amusingly astonishing pastimes of His Divine Grace. So if you'll say a few words.
Jai Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Jai.
On this occasion, we oftentimes feel so much gravity, and this is the 9th anniversary of the disappearance.
But actually, from a Bengali calculation, 10, because just as the day you're born is your first birthday, and after a year is your second, so the day he disappeared is 1, and this is the 10th, but either way.
Either way, every year this time, I know myself and so many of my god brothers and sisters, we relive the whole disappearance pastime of Srila Gurudev, and we're there with him when he left this world and saw how it was no ordinary departure from this world, but in meditation, in closure, like the sun setting on the horizon, and plunging all of us into darkness for still to this day. We can say it's a changed world. But how much he gave us and how much he taught by his personal example, the embodiment of Trinadapi Sunichena, humility, tolerance, giving honor to others. He lived by this every day, every moment of every day, wherever he went and whoever he dealt with, and showed us that perfect example of being that embodiment of Mahaprabhu's teachings and giving the harmony to be a Vaishnava and to be able to chant the names of Krishna and to run the mission of his Guru Maharaj. As he told Goswami Maharaj once, there's no other way out of desperation. I'm following humility, tolerance, giving honor to others. And the temple of love and affection, the name of his samadhi, was also personified in him. How much love, how much affection he flooded the world with, all of his disciples and followers and strangers, security guards in Mexico, all got his love and affection. And animals, he had his dogs and his mongoose. When you were talking about that love connection of Srila Gurudev and Srila Sridhar Maharaj, we heard, when we think of Srila Sridhar Maharaj, like myself, I didn't get that chance to see him or know him, but he's such a towering personality and such a aristocratic larger than life personality in my mind. And imagining Gurudev's mongoose in his pocket climbing out when he goes to see Srila Sridhar Maharaj and running around Srila Sridhar Maharaj's neck and going back into Gurudev's pocket. And Srila Sridhar Maharaj feeling, what was that? Yeah. And Gurudev's going to see Srila Sridhar Maharaj and Gurudev's dog following him and going under his bed and tolerating everything for Gurudev and making so much arrangement to accommodate him in his hunger. We remember how I call Srila Gurudev the king of foodies. How much he loved to eat. He said on his disappearance day, he's going to sit at his festival when he disappears from the world. He's going to sit in the nearby tree and watch what preparations they're going to offer him on his disappearance festival. He wants to see all of it and taste all of it and be very alert to what we're giving him. But the king of foodies, and how much he relished prasadam, we saw that and how he shared that with all of us. And sometimes having to undergo some fasting and finding it impossible, and on one occasion eating newspaper in desperation. There's no prasadam, no one left anything for him. So he grabs the newspaper, pours some water in it, mashes it up and eats that. And on another occasion, mango leaves when there's nothing to eat and it's a fasting day. Reaching out to the mango tree, pulling the leaves and crushing them with water and eating. And when Srila Sridhar Maharaj heard this, he arranged every occasion, every fasting occasion, something to be given to him so he wouldn't have to fast. hiding the best mangoes under his bed for Srila Gurudev. That very extreme affection shown in so many ways. And such wonderful pastimes many of us were a part of. He included us all in them, took us around the world, let us serve him in various capacities, and loving us as his own nijajan, his own people, his own family, his own children. And that beautiful, loving, soft, adorable form of his, always warming the heart for all of us. And going through his pictures, we can see it, almost all laughing and smiling and joking, that sense of humor that was noted by Swami Maharaj Prabhupada as the transcendental humorist. And leaving us so much instruction. And when asked by some devotees after the departure of the great souls, we see so much darkness coming into the lives of the devotees, and sometimes being misguided, and sometimes losing the track. And Srila Gurudev explained what I had always felt all along, that that potency of the pure first-class Uttama Adhikari, Paramahamsa Vaishnavas, they have some power of compensation for all of us unqualified practitioners. And when they're present, that covers over all the shortcomings of the disciples and followers like us. And we could go on with our shortcomings and our faults and our discrepancies, and they would carry us along, overshadowing everything. But when they depart, the illusory energy comes with more force, and that compensation power withdrawing with their withdrawal from this world. And what saves us at that time is pure sharanagati, surrender. And Srila Gurudev said our Sukriti in the background will allow us to see properly what we've heard, and the quality of our practicing lives that will come to our aid. And staying under guidance of the Vaishnavas in this way, if we can go on, then we will be saved from any reaction caused by our inabilities and shortcomings. So we've experienced this on a very real and profound level with Srila Gurudev's withdrawal, and have lost some friends, have gained some new ones. Somehow life is going on in his separation, and we try to continue knowing what he would like of us, what he expects of us, and trying to be sincere in our continued service attempt, knowing that's what he would want from us, and knowing that's what he was giving us for our super benefits. So, some grave teachings he left for these grave moments. I took notes and just want to make sure I didn't miss anything. Proper service connection, surrender to Guru, Sukriti, karma, quality of practicing life, all these things affect our continual pursuance in Krishna consciousness. We must pray for his guidance and lastly, giving us the assurance when all else fails, just call out the name of the Vaishnavas and they will hear us and come to our aid. In extreme emergency, just call out the name of your guru, our grand gurus, and know that help will always come from their side. So I pray on this occasion that I may continue year after year remembering these things and putting them into practice and trying to convey and share and reiterate them with my God brothers and sisters and those who I meet, so we can actually get some actual Krishna consciousness in our life and embrace what they've given us, what Srila Gurudev has given us by his perfect example, his divine teachings and blessings. Jai Srila Gurudev ki jai.
Hare Krishna.
Now we
nice
will...
Nice Srileka Didi, you can speak something, glorification of Srila Gurudev.
By your grace, Maharaj. Jayam Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. Jayam Vishnupad Srila Bhakti Rakak Sridharadev Goswami Maharaj ki jai. I recently heard Srila Gurudev speaking on the subject of search for Sri Krishna, reality the beautiful, and the loving search for the lost servant. And Gurudev is saying it is very important that we take up the practicing life in search of the Lord, but even more important is to remember that he's searching for us. That is our extreme comfort. And actually, I was thinking this morning, Srila Gurudev, our Guru Varga, they are as astonishing, as mysterious, as unfathomable in divinity and in all respects as the Lord himself. And we're searching for them also in our practicing life, as they're giving us instruction, as we're associating with devotees who are imbibing those instructions, which as Maharaj is saying, that is Chaitanya Saraswat Mad is a deep and profound thing. It is not a bunch of buildings or a form. But as we're going on in the association of those, like Sripad Goswami Maharaj, so much, so grateful for him beyond words, and others, but we are also facing challenges as the as we are doing our homework. So we have some instruction, but then as we're going through our day, you can say, there's some homework to do. There's some practicing life. There's some, oh, can I be humble under this circumstance? Or do I suddenly see the environment as my enemy that I have to rally and go against and find some wrong in there? Can I do this? And sometimes we think, oh, I've got this, I can talk about this, this is a good thing. But sometimes the Lord arranges a situation where you really can't, you really are thrown off. And you remember what Srila Gurudev said, and this has come to my aid in so many ways, that you smile. And you know that I'm remembering your instruction. I'm trying to be what you want me to be, as you are trying to offer me to Gurudev. Gurudev is offering our Guru Varga. They are trying to offer us. They're trying to make us a fit offering. And they're always there. And when we're trying to go on with their instructions, to see the divinity, the divine will behind all things, we feel their hand coming towards us. That I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to give up on you. And we're chanting all the time, Hari Haraya Nama Krishnaya. And we're saying, Tandara Charana Sevi Bhakti Sanivas, Janame Janame Mor E Abhilasa. We can hope for this. We can hope that lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, those Vaishnavas, those of the caliber of Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj, who is not the successor only because he was extremely mystically qualified to make everything happen, but because his heart was the embodiment of the divine existence of Guru Maharaj. And we're asking that Janame Janame Mor E Abhilas, we can say it out loud, we're told to say it out loud, that life after life, those kinds of Vaishnavas, I will be able to serve them. It's a miracle. Mahaprabhu can do anything he wants. Why he does things, we don't know. But this prayer is a genuine prayer, that we will find Guru, that we will find Gurudev coming in so many ways. And we had the special, inconceivable good fortune to sit in his presence, knowing that I'm rotten to the core, and seeing him smile at us, thinking, it's going to be all right. Anyway, I won't speak anymore. But we have this prayer, and don't give up. Never give up. This is the worst thing we can do. Never give up. Please them by our determination, by our prayer, by our trying to adjust to the Lord's will all the time. Whatever he wants is good for me. And finding the presence of Guru pushing us forward. So, Jai Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Jai.
Bhakti Sudhir Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai.
Some other disciples of Srila Gurudev like to say something? Aviram Thakur Prabhu? He sings. Ajita. Maybe Nityananda. Ajita.
Jai Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivraja Kachari Varya Ashtudrashta Shri Shrimad Shri Lubhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj Ki Jai. Я просто проходил мимо, вот, и у нас там висит фотография, куда пошел там Махараджу приводить.
А, не слушайте, да.
Ну, я буду громко стараться говорить. У нас там висит рядом с нашей комнатой фотография, где вот идет Говинда Махарадж, Шрила Шридхар Махарадж, Шрила Госвами Махарадж.
Oh, Hare Krishna.
And just for the moment he had that vision that the picture became enlivened and he saw Govindadev Goswami Maharaj in his Srila Sridhar Maharaj in his humility and humbleness.
Yeah.
And then, and Srila Govinda Dev Goswami Maharaj was radiant with the happiness and joy, just taking Guru Maharaj, as he mentioned, to the like bright future, just helping him the go that direction. Yeah, with the triumph. And you look like you're nearly going to faint. Just.
That's probably true.
And the Gurudev is an embodiment of that triumphant future.
Triumphant?
Future.
Future, yes. He saw that just as, I was mainly hoping for the best. I knew that Guru Maharaj was the best, and I was hoping that others, I had this blind faith that I, if I would just give others exposure to him, I'll let him continue in a minute, just stay where you are. If I give others exposure to Guru Maharaj, I thought that will do it. They'll see who he is, they'll appreciate that, and everything will be achieved by that. That was my plan. Right? But, and then Srila Gurudev, he saw in me that this is possible, that here's someone who can promote Guru Maharaj, not him. It's all about promoting Guru Maharaj. That's the point I'm trying to make. And this happiness and the radiance you see in Srila Govinda Maharaj is his, and not a type of arrogance, but his happiness and satisfaction in the promotion of his Gurudev and the glories of Srila Guru Maharaj around the world. So we saw in each other, like, because I saw Guru Maharaj, I have some estimation of who he is and what he represents. And then I will try and do this, but I need also like a partner on this side. And then Srila Govinda Maharaj, he's that perfect partner to make behind the scenes everything that needs to happen, happen. So what people, many did not understand, when you go to the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, the way that everything's mystically, seamlessly happening, it appears to us that way. Behind the scenes, like Yoga Maya, Srila Govinda Maharaj is making this all happen, including our access to Srila Guru Maharaj. And so, and when, and this is a point I forgot to make, when anyone would come to Chaitanya Saraswat Mat, they would, and I've thought about this in reflection, and even if you, let's say before you go to the mat, you could hear, like read Sri Guru and His Grace, or one of the books of Srila Guru Maharaj, and have a connection, feel a very strong connection with him, and undergo a conversion experience. Many people can testify this fact. They read Sri Guru and His Grace, and they underwent a conversion experience. And that led them to want to go to the mat. They'd never met Guru Maharaj, but they read this, his vani, his words, it entered them and awakened them, transformed them, and they were on their way to the mat. But with Srila Govinda Maharaj, it was almost an inversion in that when people, they go to the mat, really they're going there to hear from Srila Guru Maharaj. And that would be satisfied. You know, they would walk away from him. But what would happen as they descended really into the realm, because Guru Maharaj is upstairs, Srila Gurudev downstairs. When they would go downstairs, suddenly they're in the realm of Srila Govinda Maharaj. And that's where they would be overwhelmed by the love, affection, you know, the begun bhaja, the different, like, that Gurudev said later, laughing, that was like his secret weapon. This fried eggplant seems like an insult to name it that, this divine substance, you know, that he would then overwhelm the devotees with, you know, beauty, charm, and sweetness of his affectionate, loving, affectionate ways. So on top of the spiritual substance they got from Guru Maharaj, then they came in connection with someone who personified what they just heard, right? Whose heart was flooded with that, and he could saturate you with the same feelings and substance. So by the time someone made it out of the front gate of the mat, this is in the old, when, you know, you were expected to, like, hey, they staggered out, like they were intoxicated by the combination of Guru Maharaj and Gurudev, and I should say too, Subal Sakha Prabhu, Haricharan, who later became Damodar Maharaj, Haricharan Prabhu, Krishna Saran, Aranya Maharaj, like they're part of Govinda Maharaj's team. So he had this sweet team of servitors acting under his direction. So really, you staggered out of the mat, intoxicated with love and affection and the hot Su Siddhanta of Guru Maharaj. And you know, it was almost like, what was that? You know, I remember one of the first times when I left, I was with my friend who later became Bhakti Abhay Narayan Maharaj. And we had skipped the Mangalarati, the Bhagavatam class in Mayapur. And like, so we were delinquent, you could say. And we'd gone on, you know, on the boat, or, you know. So I don't think we missed Mangalarati, but knowing me, probably we did. But just for the record, maybe we were there. But the Bhagavatam class, that we missed. You know, we should have been there, we're not. But as we left, and after the prasad from Srila Govinda Maharaj, and we're like, and it was very cold. We're in the rickshaw, and it's going like this back, and he looked over at me like, as if to say, "What was that?" You know, like, and I said, "That was like the book Bhagwat. Like, we didn't go to the book Bhagwat class, but this was, the person Bhagwat. What we're trying to extract from the Bhagavatam, we found here personified in Srila Sridhar Maharaj and subsequently Srila Govinda Maharaj's loving, affectionate ways." And all he could do, because we're dumbstruck, was nod in agreement. So that was like the arrangement that they had, which it cannot be lost upon me that when we were in Govardhan and some devotees were pushing like Dham Parikrama, and on that particular day it is to go to Ucha Gaon or Lalita Bar, the house of Lalita Sakhi. As in Vrindavan, you have like Sudevi, Lalita Sakhi, different places of their gopi identity. Other places like Prabodhananda's place, you know, Swarup Dhamma, that's another thing. But here, Ucha Gaon, Lalita Bar, the house of Lalita Sakhi. And remember, before going, someone, you know, wanted to know if Srila Govinda Maharaj wanted to go. And he declined, you know. And then we all went, and it was astonishing. It's this mystical mansion on a hill, and you're just overwhelmed by that environment, you know. Because I remember, and the little children, they're not pushing for money, they're just astonished to see Shaibs, white people, you know. At that still, it's one of the least traversed places. So it's not heavy with sails and stuff. They just like, they tag along, the local children. And there was this one little girl, you know, they have some dress that, like, you know, has been mended many times, and they go, you know, and at some point I asked her what her name was. And she said, you know, Brajalata. And I thought, oh my God, like Asamaho Charanu Jushama Hangshang, Vrindavane Kimapi Gumalato Sadinam, Yadushta Jam Swajanam Arjapatam Chihitva, Bejur Mukunda Parivim Shritibir Vimrigyam. So Uddhava's aspirate saying, what is it? Brajalata, to become a Brajalata. And so this girl is saying, not only is she a Brajalata metaphorically appeared, you know, in the soil of Vrindavan, but her name is Brajalata. So I thought, oh, how divine is this place? And then many wonderful things happening there, and then we back, and then Gurudev gave an explanation why he did not join or give us his association on this visit. And he said, because as in the time of Srila Saraswati Thakur, when they're on Brajamandal Parikrama, and in Guru Maharaj's words, Saraswati Thakur is engaged in what is called this Ruchi Pariksha. He's examining the taste, sorry, divine taste, Ruchi preferences of this. He can detect that by certain tendencies, expressions, and we may say in a seed form or a sprout or whatever, but he's the qualified person to do that. There is some method to the madness, and the qualified person can discern that. Footnote, all the people at present doing this are just 100% bogus and canceled and cheating people. But this was not that. So Saraswati Thakur, examining Guru Maharaj and his preference, they've gone to so many places, and Guru Maharaj expressed some particular appreciation for Kadam Kandi, which is the place of Srila Rupa Goswami's bhajan, and we know his writings, and you know. And some years later, they're on the parikrama again, they come to that place, and Guru Maharaj says, turns to him and says, oh, your place. And Guru Maharaj says, my place? Oh, Prabhupada is connecting this in some way as indicating some significance here. So Srila Govinda Maharaj, Srila Guru said, and this is from his tour with Srila Guru Maharaj. He had not been back since that time. And at that time, in Uchagaon, at the house of Lalita Sakhi, some deep internal recognition was expressed in his heart. Very profound, very deep, very real and substantial. For that place, the place of Lalita Sakhi. So, he said that the reason I don't want to revisit is I'm afraid that feeling will go away. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his song, Vichakana Korite, etc., about like lightning, there's a flash, and the heart left in the hankering position. So what he experienced there, just see how carefully he wanted to guard that. A devotee of lesser stature, qualification, would want a repeat experience. They would want to go, they're thinking, step and repeat. You read this part of the book, you sang this song, this chapter, and to try and make that happen again. Then it turns into something else. Then it's not divine substance descending in a revelatory way, revealing itself to you, but rather becomes karmakandic in the sense of you're trying to impose your sentiments upon the higher, not offering yourself in service to the higher with or without divine sentiments expressed. So he is very cautious, as all the real Vaishnavas, substantial Vaishnavas are, to guard that. If something wonderful came to one, they won't be trying to make an ostentatious display of achievement to deceive fools, but rather to carefully guard that substance to the point of, if it's unknown to anyone, so much the better. Not to advertise. Right? I've mentioned here, we see with the return of spring, the return of the kokio, which has been the liquid sweetness of the song of the kokio has been variously described as reminiscent of the voice of Krishna. Sounds like that to Srimati Radharani, or her own voice has been described as kokio-like. And that means in this kind of irresistible liquid sweetness that expresses some, like some along with the sweetness, a certain sense of vulnerability, right, that should be appropriate to the heartfelt expressions of the surrendered soul, well, to speak of the ultimate surrender. So, and Srila Gurudev, as comes to my mind, as a raga marg bhakta, in that do as he says, not as he does, don't try to imitate him. You'll get hurt spiritually. You'll become spiritually damaged. He is that, and Guru Maharaj recognized that and allowed for his, well, we might say, you know, like divine eccentricities, and saying, when you deal with the higher soul, if you mistake that as mundane, Vaishnavara Kriya Mudra Vigyaya Navajara, you can't understand the movements, the behavior of these type Vaishnavas. So, and as far as he's concerned, if someone thinks on account of certain observation that he is less than qualified or money, it doesn't mean anything to him. Vaishnavi Pratishtha Tati Koro Nishta. His concern is with the higher Vaishnavas. And there he has certificate from Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj, you know, Guru Ganai Ashish Shambhushitam, all the heavy hitter, substantial disciples of Srila Saraswati Thakur. In addition to his Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj made it a point in his pranam mantram, which he composed, to not just say, like, he's got my full blessing. We could expect that from a guru, to say, and here's my disciple, and, you know, like, nothing new there, in a sense. So Guru Maharaj, being aware of that, saying, oh, this is what you would expect to hear, right, Guru Gane Ashish, not only from his Gurudev, but all his Guru God brothers, the Guru Varga, they also recognize this in him. Not that I'm just blinded by love and affection for this boy Govinda, this extraordinary of, you know, but they all recognize that as well. So, and some, so much so, saying as if he's a direct disciple of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So, so many things are going on. In the midst at a train station with all the commotion that's going on, Gurudev could compose an arati of unparalleled excellence. Just start right. He didn't have to like go in a room, shut the doors, put in earplugs and a blindfold, you know, to try and block out the environment. One writer did that, like a good writer, but he'd like put on a blindfold and just like, he's trying to concentrate. He didn't need to do that. He can be in the throe of full-blown life and the full range of what it is. And have, as the great writer Saul Bellow said, art is the arrest of attention in the midst of so much distraction. That he could do. And I've seen him do it. So, and it's an offense to observe a higher Vaishnav And on the basis of some external observations, as concludes something less than stellar, as we is what to speak of us, and epitomized in the case of Gadadhar Pandit and Pundarik Vidyaniti. It's not like we're making this stuff up. And Guru Maharaj's explanation of the Api Chet Suraracharo sloka. And there are other evidence. So, and I tried to tamper down the familiarity quotient and the, you know, that, because I was very fortunate to have, in the last 10 years, an extensive association with him, and try to remember he's allowing you to participate in this way. So if you have something to say, I should either be relevant to his interests or something substantial, you know. So we're in Navadvip, and it's at this time, similar time, a little before this time, and it was just a few days before Gaur Purnima, and there also, harbingers of spring, is the kokil. So they start making their divine sound and like going back and forth, and I have some, it just charms me from time to time. And Gurudev, he looked up from whatever else was going on. He said, oh, here, he says, hear the sound of the kokil. There, two males are competing for the affection of a female. And then he said, when I lived in Brahmanpur, his hometown, means like Brahmanpur, like a village of Brahmins. But in time become Brahmanpur, but it's Brahmanpur, like a city, a village, a town of everyone there is a Brahmin. It's a Brahmin community. And he's born a very high birth, even by material estimation. And he's saying, in those days, no clock, no wristwatch. We tell time by the sky and light and the position of sun, moon, stars. That's how we, and the sound of the birds. He said, so when I hear the sound of the kokil, he's saying, like, oh, like, time to get up and go to school. And he said, like, then I knew it's time to get up and eat muri. School might or might not be part of the program that day. But he knows, oh, it's time, I need to eat muri, puffed rice. Right? But he's, like, hearing that, but that's, he's allowed, like, say, it's actually Srila Govinda Maharaj's trap to take you into another world. So he's throwing little pieces of muri, you know, like a bread, a little trail, and then you're consuming these things. And then if his heart is feeling a particular way, he might express something more or not. But so he started by saying, oh, the sound of the kokils reminds me of those days. Wake up early in the morning, eat some muri. But that's not all he's thinking. That he's throwing out a little something. Right? Because he's shy to express. And why? For fear it will vanish. If Krishna consciousness, even Krishna consciousness, is asserted, like if it's expressed with self-assertion, It's an ego, an exercise in ego. It turns into something else. Like putam harikatam ritam, sravananaiva kartavyam. It's not the same thing. On an information level, pure data, I's and O's, it may appear to be, but that, there's nothing there. Right. Absent the, that it's a divine flow descending, and that qualified heart is transmitting something divine that's descending. That's not something you decide to do. Of course, we find ourselves in situations where we're expected to represent Krishna consciousness to another person. Doesn't preclude that. But we're talking about, and even there, something very substantial could happen. As we consider, oh, what would be appropriate to for this person's necessity? What should be expressed to them? But this is more than that. So he's for the most part, concealing, as they all do. That is what is consistent amongst the greater devotees, the higher devotees. They're concealing their inner self for various reasons. One, not to mislead neophytes. Another is, there's no guarantee with Krishna. He can withdraw at any time. He's infamous. Withdrawing. If he can make himself absent from the supreme devotee, then what to speak of others in a lesser position or an infinitely lesser position or whatever you want to say. So he's careful not to express those things. That's Srila Guru Maharaj. Why do I say dial nitai? Why is that? He's saying because inevitably in expressing Krishna consciousness, something high is going to come out because there's nothing higher than this. So we may try with the utmost caution, and respect, reverence, to represent it in the most, general way. But invariably something high will be expressed in Guru Maharaj and say, and maybe I committed some offense in the process. So I'm invoking the name of Nityananda Prabhu to restore me to my former position of awe, respect, caution, and non-ego assertion. But so Srila Gurudev, in this particular occasion, it reminded him of the poetry of Srila Rupa Goswami. Maybe it's in, what is, Padyavali, but the where it says, you know, Kurvati kila ko kila something, jayamini iti vishati kalanadam, something like that. I forget. It's my offense. How could forget something like that? But saying, Srimati Radharani, we already said, the ko kil has this incomparably liquid sweet sound. So that should be a cause for joy or celebration. And it's reminiscent of the voice of Krishna. Reminds you of the voice of Krishna. That's how divine it is. Saying, but here, Rupa Goswami is expressing something very peculiar. That Radharani's hearing the sound of the kokil. So you think, oh, jump for joy. Remember the voice of Krishna. And she's, what is she saying? She's jap, like japa, jaimini, 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 like, helplessly crying out to Jaimini Rishi for shelter, to be saved, to be protected from this calamity. Right? I think, what is this? Right? Radharani, she's the supreme gopi. All right, we worship Krishna. Now she's taking the name of Jaimini Rishi, asking him for help. This is very bewildering. And this is the poetry of Srila Rupa Goswami, the supreme, you know, the leader of our Sri Rupa Manjari is writing these things. So, Gurudev explained, it is the tradition of the people of Vrindavan to, because we know Gopi, like for, they want Krishna as a husband, they're worshiping Katyayani, they worship Surya, they, you know, Shiva, Mahakali, there's all kinds of things going on there, but all Krishna-centered. It's not, you know, Yanti, Deva, Vrata, Devan, etc., which is Bengal. Worshipping gods and goddesses to make a deal with them to for material improvement or comfort. No, not like that. Their focus is always Krishna. So she's taking the name of Jaimini Rishi. It's a little weird, but why? Well, that's a tradition there. Why do they do that? Because we're told that if there's like thundering in the sky and then there's lightning, so that you don't get struck by lightning, if you will take the name of Jaimini Rishi, you'll be saved. And they're also, you know, Gyanashunya Bhakta, they're so simple, sweet, and beautiful. That's what gopis do. They go, it's like thunder and lightning, oh, Jaimini, they take the name of Jaimini Rishi, so you won't get struck by lightning, it'll kill you, you'll be finished. Right? Destroyed. So here, but what's peculiar is there's this incomparably sweet sound of the kokil, reminiscent of the voice of Krishna, and Radharani is going, Jaimini, Jaimini, as if, why? Because in separation, it's not sweet. But rather, it's like lightning striking her heart to hear that sound. To hear the sweetest sound imaginable is like a lightning bolt direct hit on her heart that's going to shatter her existence, destroy her completely. That's the intensity of separation compared to, that's union and separation. How intense, how extraordinary, and that the heart is yielding the most superior type, quality of Krishna Prem in the most peculiar expression. That by virtue of what it is, no one who's unqualified can penetrate there. That's why Kaviraj Goswami said, it shouldn't be expressed, but I couldn't be happier. Because no one will get it who's not supposed to get it. It will be my like madness to others. So in the midst of all these things going on, the hustle and bustle of a Gaur Purnima, you know, the few days preceding that, and the comings and goings and the arrivals and the departures and just all that spinning hysteria, right? The arrest of attention in the midst of his struggle, so calm, so unaffected by any of it, this is coming out of the heart of Srila Guru Maharaj, Srila Govinda Maharaj. He's mercifully willing to allow that, and then as if he's shy to express it, and so the only way I could refer to that as his concealing his ecstatic emotional interior. And that just sometimes, as Vaishnava Maharaj, Śrīla Śrāva Prabhu, would say, he said, after Gurudev quoted, not, I don't like to say quote, just his heart expressed some slokas from the Antya Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita at around 3 o'clock in the morning on Green Street in East London. So were we in London? Were we in East London at that moment? I don't think so. But we knew we were very fortunate. And then Gurudev, maybe he went to the bathroom, and like we're there again, like, what was that moment? And Vaishnava Maharaj, he said, we are like chatak birds. The example of Rupa Goswami, they only drink water from the rain cloud. And back to the lightning can destroy whatever, they don't go to any other source. It's about fidelity also. Not going to any other source. They only want this life-giving, nectarine, nourishing substance to come from this one source. They're not tempted by what is being given out here, there, and everywhere. Right? They only want this quality. They're addicted to it. And no, it only comes from this place. And whatever personal inconvenience they may have to undergo, or drought, again, that thirst, ambuja, the life-giving nectar for that shisha lotus, they'd rather die, wither and die than go to another source of either lesser or questionable or poison, you know, sarpo chistam yata payo. So, continue.
This last parikrama at the Govardhan Hill, his wheelchair was broken, and Brahmananda offered him to hire a rickshawala. Uh-huh. But suddenly he realized that he doesn't need any rickshaw, he doesn't need to go anywhere, because the Gurudev is here, and at his lotus feet, everything is there, so I don't need to go anywhere.
Yes, Hare Krishna. Correct. That's the right thinking. And Guru Maharaj told me when I began preaching in earnest, promoting his divine grace in the Western world, and I was sitting alone in this house in San Jose, California, he said, "The first of all, do not doubt that your Guru Maharaj is pleased with you, as I am pleased with you and our Guru Maharaj." And he said, and also, do not doubt that if you're sincere in your effort, your endeavor, he said that Mahaprabhu will personally supply all the resources necessary for your seva. And I thought, oh, what am I worried about? Worried about being sincere. He said, if you're sincere and earnest, and I am recognizing that, but that it can also be withdrawn if you become arrogant, self-assertive, etc. But if you're sincere to serve with a particular service in mind, and it's real and substantial, as he indicated, he said, then Mahaprabhu will personally supply all the resources necessary for that service. They may appear in mystical ways, but they will be there. So all you need to concentrate on is being sincere. And just to conclude, Srila Govinda Maharaj, you know, I mean, it was almost painful to hear him say this, but he said, like, If someone serves the lotus feet or has the aspiration to serve the lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj, he said, I become their slave. We're like, shuddering and looking away, like, but that's his feeling. Not that they're serving me. They may think they're serving him, and they have a right to think that way. But he's thinking it's all being offered in service to the lotus feet of his Guru Maharaj. And that's the way everybody, we think guru, every guru, no guru thinks of themselves as a guru, but as a humble, aspiring servant of the lotus feet of their Gurudev. And that he personified. And just to conclude, so that Lalita connection, because sometimes we're told we see like, you know, Guru as Radharani's delegation. Babaji Maharaj said when they went to Hapania, I'm seeing it as Barshana. And that's coming from a god brother, so that's even, you know, very special. That's not expected. Saraswati Thakur saw Bhakti Vinod and Gorkha Short as Babaji Maharaj says, Gadadhar Pandit. Swoop Damodar, Radharani, Lalita, like that. And we're not to imitate, but we're talking about, you know, substantial Vaishnavas here, the most substantial. And so when I thought everyone could understand how we could conceive Guru Maharaj as Radharani's delegation, and Gurudev promoted that so many times, you know, equating Guru Maharaj with Srimati Radharani and everything. And then I thought, well, then I have a dilemma. How do I conceive the two of them? I mean, a sweet dilemma. Because I will conceive Guru Maharaj in that way, as Radharani's delegation. And then the Rupa, the Kadam Kani, and then, but Gurudev, some indicate with the Lalita Bar, Uchagam. And then when I would meditate on Gurudev, the way he's serving Guru Maharaj, and I thought, is he not like Lalita Sakhi, serving Radharani? And he expressed his own preference, like that place was something meaningful to him. All things are possible. But this is also possible, to conceive in this context of Guru Maharaj as Radharani and Gurudev as Lalita Sakhi doing all the services. And when she's lost sometimes in her divine madness, who can help the most? Like, we hear of Guru Maharaj, all these things that Guru Maharaj composed. But what many don't know is sometimes when Guru Maharaj is composing something, he's searching for a particular word or something. And Govinda Maharaj is right by his side. He's supplying that. Saying, oh, this, and go, oh, yes, that will be good. And showing a way to proceed. He's assisting. And as Rupa Goswami's praise of Lalita Sakhi and his Lalita Astakam is the Radha Mukunda Parasambhama Garma Bindu Nirmanchano Puri. Nirmanchano Dehulaksham Utunga Sohurda Vishesham Prasat Pagalam Devim Gunai Silalitam Lalitam Namami Radha Mukunda Parasamba Vagarma Bindu Nirmanchano Pukarani Krita Dehulaksham. Yeah. It's interesting. The first sloka will always be something extraordinary. The first one. That's what Pratama. In a drama, but even in the first one's always of special significance. And there, and you think, this is Rupa Goswami identifying what are the qualities and characteristics of Lalita Sakhi to be praised and noted. So there's no more qualified person to make this assessment. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not just, and then someone else wrote something else, that's also possible. This is Rupa Manjari, Rupa Goswami saying, now hear this. This is what you should draw your attention to. And using astonishing examples to make a point. So he's really talking about when Radha and Krishna are, you know, and their deep loving embrace, and he's saying, and if one bit of sweat appear, like Lalita Sakhi, like, oh, that cannot be. That has so focused on that, like this has to be removed. Like how delicately removed to not cause any disturbance, and you know, like what kind of laser-like focus is that in the midst of this to be thinking like that? That's the supreme servitor. They're like this laser focus. This must be, and what? Feelings, you know, Devim Guna, Sambhava Gamrabin, Nirmansuno Pukarani Krita, Deho Laksham. The one who's willing to sacrifice their life for the cause, that's laudable. But what about the soldier who becomes a million soldiers for the cause? A better soldier. So she's thinking, she will expand into innumerable forms to just make sure that everything's perfect. That's her target. And then I thought, where have I seen this? And Srila Govinda Maharaj, who with the same kind of laser-like focus, intensity, and this comprehensive serving capacity, that nothing will disturb Guru Maharaj when he's in that plane, his higher thinking, extracting from that plane, bringing it down into this world for distribution. Srila Govinda Maharaj's focus is, no disturbance shall go to Srila Guru Maharaj. The picture you saw is like the one day a year Guru Maharaj would come down, 2 days, 3 days. It was like that, Radhasmir, one of these days. Otherwise, Srila Govinda Maharaj moving and the plane of service of Chaitanya Saraswati, making sure that everything is perfect and not that the least hint of a disturbance can reach the holy lotus feet of Srila Guru Maharaj and distract him from his internal culture, which is not abstract thinking, but direct service in the upper world. So then I thought, oh, then my heart, at least my heart will be happy in conceiving of them in this way. And I don't think that Srila Guru Maharaj or Srila Gurudev would object. Hare Krishna.
Gurudev said, when I went for Ichabal, I felt that was my house.
I believe it, 100%. And then my heart is having like, oh, Guru Maharaj like Radharani, Gurudev Lalita Sakhi, and together they're going on with these divine pastimes. And then the next level of Guru Maharaj, and how beautiful is that? So, Srila Bhakti Sundar Govindadev Goswami Maharaj Tirubhav Maha Mahotsavatiti Ki Jai. I just want to say, this song can be sung in conjunction with the previous one. A Bara Kuruna Koro Vaishnava Goshai. It's like the next song.
A Bara Kuruna Koro Vaishnava Goshai.